But let's stand and we'll look at these verses tonight and pray. In verse 15, the Bible says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Father, again tonight, thank you for this time. And I do that pray that you would bless the service. I pray that you'd bless your word. I pray tonight, Father, if there be a lost person in our midst, I pray you'd save them. And I pray for that Christian tonight who is still struggling, still hanging on to the old ways, still following self in the flesh. I pray tonight that you would convict them to the point that they would yield and surrender, maybe as never before. And Father, tonight, most of all, I pray that you would be lifted up, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God, and that we would acknowledge you for who you are and give glory to your name. Bless now to that end, and we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we looked at two sections. We've already looked at the Holy Spirit, on the Holy Spirit, the person of the Spirit. And I want you to think about what we've seen just in a very brief review. We saw that a person is any being that has knowledge, feeling, or will. And we saw these areas that mark the characteristics of the personality of the Holy Spirit. And we saw that he has knowledge, that he can hear, that he has a mind, that he loves, he grieves, he speaks, he glorifies and praises God. He is a person of responsibility. And by the way, he delegates responsibility to you and I. And we also saw that he has will. Then we looked at his positions that he holds and that he fills. We saw there are many, and we saw just a couple tonight, or this morning. We saw that he searches the things of God and reveals that to us. He's our revealer. He shows us what we need to know. He also prays on our behalf when we don't know what to pray. He teaches us the way that he wants us to go, the way that is pleasing to God. And then he holds an office that only he can really hold, and that is of our comforter, our counselor, and the one that represents us. Now, tonight, we're going to continue on with the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, "Brother Listlin, why are you doing this?" I mentioned this morning that many are missing out in their Christian life because they don't understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. They don't understand that he is a person like you and I, that he holds positions that only a person can hold, and that he has power that nobody else on earth has. Now, how can we fully be used of God until we come to that place we understand these things? And I hope tonight that you will listen intently, because the rest of the week, on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm going to pose a question each night in the message. And the question will be answered with the Holy Spirit of God. He's everything, folks. We need to realize that in this life, the Spirit of God must work in through us. We must be filled with the Spirit. You notice that verse, it said, "Be not drunk with wine." If somebody is drunk, they are intoxicated. An intoxicated person is controlled by the substance that they have taken in, whether it be alcohol or whether it be drugs or whatever the substance might be. The Bible says that you and I are to be in the will of God, not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, intoxicated by the Spirit of God, controlled by the Spirit of God completely. And I look out and I see people and they go, "You're kidding. That really can't be." Yes, it can. If we will submit and we will surrender our lives to him, he will work in and through us. Now, let's look just at a few things we saw this morning about his power. We saw exactly what the power of the Holy Spirit can do. Number one, he reveals Christ to mankind. He's the only one that can really give man a picture of the Lord Jesus, a picture that will change their life. He has the power to convict the world of sin. I can preach all I want about sin, but if the Spirit of God is not behind what I am doing, there is nothing. I don't have the power to blow the fuzz off of a peach. And how often do we as preachers and as Christians think that we possess the power that can get the job done? We have no power without him. We saw that the Spirit of God has the power to regenerate the lost. We see that he has the power to give eternal satisfaction. Amen. He's the only one that can give us that satisfaction in this life. We saw that he has the power to set us free from the law of sin and death. We saw that he has the power to strengthen the believer in the inner man. And by the way, it's the inner man controlled by the Spirit of God that makes us what we are as a Christian. And without that power in the inner man, we will fail. I want to continue tonight looking at a few things, and these are not new things. We've all heard it. I hope you've heard it. And if you've heard it, I hope you've filed it in your mind that you can go back and you can retrieve it and go over it and review it and make sure that we are living for the Lord in the power of the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to look at Romans chapter 8 tonight. I want you to see also that the Holy Spirit's power is the only power that can lead us into the family of God. I can have all the money in the world and all the influence in the world, but if that's all I've got, I will never become a child of God. I can never be a part of that family. The only way I can get into the family is God, by the power of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to say this, and listen to me well tonight. If somebody has been kind and loving to you, and they have witnessed to you, and they have over the years said, oh, I beg you, I please, I want you to get saved, and they have finally convinced you to come to an altar, and you get down on your knees at an altar, pray a prayer, and you say, oh, Lord, save me, and that's all you've done, you have nothing. Understand what I'm saying? If the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God was not in that, there is no salvation. I think today in our churches around the world, there are people that said that have made a profession with their lips, but they have no possession of Christ in their life, and it's obvious by the lack of fruit or no fruit. Look, if you would, at Romans 8 and look at verse number 10. It's the power of the Holy Spirit of God that leads us into the family of God. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. And I said this morning, and I'll repeat it. How can we that have been born into the family of God, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, have any desire to go back and live in the flesh? It's because the Spirit of God is not in control. We need to live for the Lord. Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now look at verse 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There is nobody that has the power to place you and I into the family of God other than the Holy Spirit of God. And I hope you realize that. That is the most miraculous, supernatural thing that anybody will ever experience in their life. But here's something else. The Holy Spirit's power also leads us into a joint heirship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we become the children of God, but think of this, we become co-heirs or joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful, what a great thing. Look at that verse in verse number 17. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I think about this. Many today who get saved, they say, well, I can't live for God and I can't serve God and I just don't have the ability to witness and tell people about what God's done for me. I always go back to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Jesus said, what? All power is given unto me in what? Heaven and earth. All power. You realize when we get saved and the Spirit of God places us in the family of God and he makes us joint heirs with Jesus, that we have at our disposal all the power of heaven. Every bit of it. If we will just ask for it and we'll desire it and we'll make ourselves a vessel that is worthy to be filled with the power of God, it's available. It's only the Holy Spirit of God that can make us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Nobody else. All the money in the world, all the connections we have cannot get that done, but it's the power of the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to see this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. It's the power of the Holy Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit that we are God's children. There's no other power that can do that. My wife cannot bear witness with my spirit and convince me or make me feel secure in the fact that I'm saved. I cannot do it with her. You can't do it with me, and neither can I do it with you. But look at Romans 8 and verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That word witness means to furnish evidence or proof. He is the one that has the power to give me the assurance, the evidence, the proof that I, yes, am a child of God. I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad I don't have to run around like a chicken with my head cut off and think that every other day I've lost my salvation and I don't belong to God and I'm not a child of the King. It's the power of the Spirit of God that bears witness with my spirit. And then look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6, it also says this: "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." I can look out across here tonight and I can look at Brother Seth and look at his son. And I could say, that man, and what's his name? Noah. I thought that was it. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if it was Jonah or Noah. He's got both legs, so it couldn't have been Jonah. Amen. But I could look down here and say, that is Noah's father. Is that a true statement? Yes, it is. And that's a true statement. The world can look to heaven and they can say, well, God the Father lives in heaven. That's a true statement. Now, Noah can look over at him and point his finger at him and he can say, that's my daddy. That's my daddy. Do you know what? When we get saved, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and we can look to heaven and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, my father, my daddy lives in heaven. I don't know about you, but that's exciting. How many of you think that's exciting? The rest of you need to tell your face about it. Amen? That's exciting. But it's the Spirit of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And then here are other things the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit about as well. To the fact that we are free from sin. He's the one that bears with our spirit that their sin does not have to rule in our life. Look at verse number 2 of chapter 8 of Romans. It says in chapter 8 and verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." Do you realize tonight we don't have to live in sin? The Holy Spirit has set us free, and He bears witness with our spirit to that fact. We ought to listen. We ought to watch. We ought to read and understand. It would change the way we live. Literally would change the way we live. He also bears witness to this, that we are free to walk in the Spirit. There's nobody that can keep me from walking in the Spirit of God except one person. You know who that is? Me. I'm the only one that can stop that. But we are free to walk with the Spirit. Look there, if you would, also at Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. It says in verse 4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? The Spirit. He bears witness with our spirit that we can now walk after Him and we do not have to walk in the flesh. And then I think also in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, also he says there, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Spirit of God bears witness if we are surrendered to that Spirit that we are genuinely His sons. There are times that we will struggle and we will fight and we will be miserable. But it's the Spirit of God that reveals that sin in our life and makes us understand that as the children of God, we cannot continue in sin, but we've got to repent and confess that sin that we might have a walk that's pleasing with our Heavenly Father. And then look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. He also bears witness with our spirit that we are able to put to death the flesh. In verse 13 it says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall what? Die spiritually." If we live in the flesh as Christians, we will suffer a spiritually fatal, defeated life. But it goes on and says also, "But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." What does that word mortify mean? Put to death. We can have the assurance in the Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we can literally put to death the flesh. We don't have to live for the flesh. We don't have to serve the flesh. We can live for the Spirit of God and please the Father. I'll tell you what, I don't know what you think. Some of you, I always look out and I see some folks, their eyes are sparkling, they're excited. Man, this is new and I like this. And even though I've already heard it, it's good to hear it again. And then there's others out there like, are you done yet? That's why we need revival. We do. Every time we step foot in the house of God and this book is open, we ought to get excited because God is about to speak to us. Look at Romans 5 and verse number 5. Here's another. His power gives us Christ-like character. By the way, I need Christ-like character every moment of every day. And in my flesh, I don't have the ability to possess and to show forth that Christ-like character. But it's the power of the Holy Spirit of God that does it. Look at Romans chapter 5 and look at verse number 5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You know, it's not always easy to love people. Have you ever found that? You're going to Ireland, brother. I mean, there may be a few folks over there that go in the pub just before they come talk to you, amen? And they may be belligerent. It's not always too easy to love. You go out and knock on doors. They're not always friendly when you knock on a door. They don't always get excited and say, "Oh, you're from Bible Baptist Church. Oh, man, we're so excited. What did you come to tell me about today? You want to tell me about salvation?" They're not always like that. And sometimes it's real hard to love them. But do you realize that the power of the Holy Spirit of God can give us that Christ-like character to love the lost where they're at, hate their sin, but love the sinner? And then look at Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Now think about that. It's not the common things of earth that the world is looking for and the world enjoys. But it's righteousness and peace and joy in the what? Holy Ghost. The power to rise above the normal to the spiritual things. The Holy Spirit has the power to give us that ability and that character. I want to rise above this life. I want to rise above where I was yesterday. I want to be higher than I was last year. I want to be on a higher plane walking with God. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's got the power to accomplish that. Then look at Romans 15 and verse 13. You say, "Why you get so wound up? This is exciting." I mean, if you could see where I came from and where God has brought me to, I'm excited about what God's doing in my life. And I want to see it spread all over this country and around this world. In Romans 15 and verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all" what? I look out here tonight and some of you are sitting like this. I'm not asking you how you did today. I did that in Kentucky last year. We're in a church and this woman walked in and I'm all bubbly and all excited. And I said, "How are you doing today?" I wish I'd have never said that to her. "Oh, man, and it went on for 20 minutes. I didn't know how to get away. Nope, everybody saw where I was and who I was talking to. And they all walked away and said, "Ha, it's your turn in the barrel today, amen." You know what? The Holy Spirit has got the power to take away that pooch mouth and all that negativism. He's got the power to fill us with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of what? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. And then look at Galatians chapter 2 and look at verse 20. It says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I think about this. It's the power of the Holy Spirit of God that can give us the ability to live a life of sacrifice for Christ and not for self. That's Christ-like character. He has that power. I would ask you today, have you lived all day today for the glory of God every moment, every second of this day? Have you done it? And if you have not done it, maybe it's because the power of God is not working in and through you. You've not surrendered and yielded to the Spirit of God. But then also I want you to see his power. He has the power to guide us into all truth. Well, we live in a world of deception, folks. It's around every corner. I won't get on it a lot, but there's a lot of deception going on in the nation's capital right now. And we better stick with the truth. The Holy Spirit has the ability and the power to guide us into all truth. And that truth is in this book. It's not in the philosophies of man. It's not in somebody's ideals. It's not. It's right here. And we better keep our noses pressed into the pages of this book. And we better ask the Holy Spirit of God every time we open the Bible to say, "Show me the truth and guide me and direct me into the things I need to know." I'm not so sure we're not headed to those days where we may see persecution. You know, we sit back here in our our tail feathers in our comfort and zones in our churches and in Christianity, and we think that nothing will ever happen to us. My wife and I just recently been reading a book that our son had given us that he had in college, and it's about history. Do you realize that the Muslims have controlled the world at various times, completely been in control of the whole world? And they persecuted and executed those that were the followers of Christ and that were Christian. Who do we think we are that we're going to escape that? We think, oh, that won't happen in my time. That'll happen after I'm dead. Oh, are you really sure? Do you realize it's the Holy Spirit of God that will guide us into truth and give us the ability through the Scriptures to know how to handle that? How to conduct ourselves and how to glorify God even in a time of persecution and peril? Look at John 14 and verse 26. It's the Holy Spirit's power that brings to remembrance the words of Christ. I'm glad that the Spirit of God is inside. And remember what David said? He said, thy word have I what? Hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We live in a day and age that we better have Scripture close at hand in our mind and on the tips of our tongue. Because if we don't, there will be times when things will be brought before us, that temptation will come. And if we don't have the Word of God to remember and think about and quote, our mind may stray to the area of temptation and we may fall. Look at John 14 and verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now notice, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I remember while I was in Bible college, Brother Vineyard was very adamant about having those men that were in the military that got saved to come in and speak often. He had a man by the name of Colonel Bo Greitz. Anybody ever heard that name? He was the most decorated Vietnam soldier. And Colonel Bo Greitz, there's been various things you may have read about him, but he came and he spoke in our church and he spoke in the college chapel. He was a captive of the Vietnamese, and I'm not sure for how long. It could have been 5 or 6, 7 or 8 years, but it was years. He told about that experience of how the Viet Cong were trying to break him that they might learn all they could about the Americans and what they were trying to do and how they were trying to do it. But they could not break Colonel Bo Greitz. They couldn't understand why they were torturing this man. He said that he lived in a metal hooch, he called it. It was as wide as his shoulders, just barely wide enough. It was only high enough that he could sit like this while he was on the ground with his legs back up, his knees bent. It was made out of bamboo posts, corrugated metal. And can you imagine in the heat of Vietnam what that must have been like during the day? And he said, that's where he was. You stayed there all day long. They would let you out for a short period of time, and then you went back in that. Now, I can't imagine that for a day. I can't imagine it for a week. But can you imagine not just months, but literally years to be kept captive in a way like that and never to break, never to give in? And how did he do it? The Viet Cong didn't know, but after a while, they figured it out. He had a Bible. And you know what his Bible was? It was a Bible made out of toilet paper. He'd take a sheet of toilet paper and he would sit and he would think, and the Spirit of God would bring back to his remembrance the verses that he had memorized as a boy and as an adult when he went to church. And he would scribble that down on that piece of toilet paper. And over the days and the weeks and the months, he would continue to roll his little toilet paper Bible. And when he'd get down, he'd unroll it. He'd go over the verses and the Bible strengthened him. And he kept going and he did not give up. They finally found out that that was his strength. You know what they did? They tore up his Bible. But you know what he did? He just made another one. You think about the Holy Spirit has the power to bring back to our minds the things of Christ, that it can keep us going and victorious for the cause of Christ, even when you're locked up in a corrugated hooch where the temperature is over 100 degrees being tortured by the enemy. Also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10 through 14. The Holy Spirit has the power to impart to us the ability to discern right from wrong, to discern the Word of God. We need to understand this Bible, folks. And by the way, we don't want to get like the cults where we take a verse, pluck it out of context, and we use it to our own ends, for our own means. We better learn what the Scripture means in the context. And by the way, the Holy Spirit has the power to give the simplest individual in here today, and I don't mean that in a negative context, but the simplest individual in here tonight, give them the ability to discern this book. Look what it says in verse 10. It says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might," what? "Know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Right there it is. He gives us the ability to discern, to look at Scripture and compare Scripture with Scripture, and to understand what God has given us. I think we too many times go to the books that men have written about this book. And we need to go to this book right here, and we need to look and find what God has. And power of the Holy Spirit gives us that ability. And then it says in verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually," what? "Discerned." I think also about Psalm 119:18. You don't have to turn. It says this, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." See, it's the Holy Spirit of God that has the power to do that. And then look, if you would, at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. I want you to see that the Holy Spirit also has the power to help us communicate the truth to others. I think of how chapter 1 and verse 8 of Acts has been so abused over the years, taken out of context and built up in a way that does not glorify God. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. The main specific thing there is that we might be what? Witnesses. Look at what it says. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be," what's that word? Come on, talk up. Don't lay there sleeping. What's it say? "Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." That's the power of the Holy Spirit of God right there. To give us the ability to witness to others of the glory of Christ and what he's done for us. I think with that in mind, there are three basic things we need from the Holy Spirit. Number one, we need the Spirit to reveal the truth of the Word of God. And then we need the Spirit to also give us the ability to discern what he has revealed. And then we need the Spirit's power to help us effectively give that truth to somebody else. We can't do it ourselves. And when Christians are going to get a hold of that principle and that ideal, it will change everything. We need the Holy Spirit at all times in our lives. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4 says this, "In my speech and my preaching was with not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but what did he say? But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." You know, the world doesn't need to know what we think. The world doesn't need to know my philosophy. What the world needs to know is what the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit has the ability and the power to do that in our life. There are three basic causes of failure in Christian service today. I want you to ask yourself, am I succeeding for the Lord or am I failing? If you're failing, these might be the reasons. One of the reasons is that preaching another message other than the Holy Spirit has revealed to us from the Bible. What are cults made up of today? They're made up of a little bit of truth and a whole lot of what? Error. We need to realize that we will fail if we do not take the simple Word of God as found in the Holy Spirit's book. And by the way, what is the Holy Spirit's book? It's the Bible. It's not any other Bible. It's not some prayer book. It's not some book that some man has made up, but it's the Word of God. We cannot preach on our philosophy, on our science, knowledge, or sociology. We can't preach history and experience. We've got to preach the simple Word of God. We need to get back to that. We need to hold to that. We need never give it up. The Spirit of God is the one that will accomplish success in our lives. Here's another failure too, and it's seen in Luke chapter 4 and verse 14 through 18, and that is preaching or teaching or witnessing in the power of the flesh. Well, I'll tell you what, I've laid eggs all many times in the course of my ministry, and they're not very pleasant. And the eggs that we lay are because of this very fact. We try to go to the pulpit and we try to present what the Word of God says, and we try to present it in the flesh and not the power of the Spirit. And then we stand and we wonder, why didn't something happen? Why aren't people being moved? Why aren't lives being changed? Why aren't souls being saved? It's the Word of God. Because we go on the flesh. Look what it says in verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. You notice he returned in the power of the what? Spirit. It says, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as it his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." Did you notice that? That's a prophetic statement in the book of Isaiah, referring to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. I think if it was good enough for the Lord Jesus, we ought to realize it's the only way we can do it. Whether it be standing behind this pulpit and preaching the Word of God, or you're a Sunday school teacher that teaches the young people from the K-4s or whatever it is all the way up, or you're standing on a street corner preaching the Word of God, you're knocking doors, you're at the fair, wherever you're at, you had better be filled with the Spirit of God. Because if you're not, in more cases than none, it will fail. We cannot preach, teach, or witness without the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit of God. But then the last thing, and I'll be done. The other failure comes because we don't give the Holy Spirit of God credit. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways," what? "Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." The bottom line is this. The Holy Spirit is everything, and we are nothing. People don't want to hear that. We are so self-centered in most cases that we look upon ourselves as being really something. I remember years ago a man preached a message on the nothingness of nothing. He said, "We are nothing." He said, "You take a zero, a zero's got a ring." He says, "But you know what we are? We are zeros with the ring kicked off." You say, "I don't like that. I don't want you to say that. I don't want to hear that." We will not be effective for the Lord Jesus until we come to the place that we acknowledge that the Spirit of God that lives inside, that works in and through us, is everything, and we are nothing. Absolutely nothing. I see people, you look at each other and you say, "Did you hear what he said?" Well, chapter and verse. Come on, show me in the Bible where it's different. The Bible says that our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags, vile, filthy rags. The Spirit of God that dwells inside, he should be preeminent. He should guide. He should direct. He's got the power. He's got the position. And he is the person in charge. What we need to do tonight is we need to recognize this fact. We need tonight to recognize the fact that it's his power and his influence in our life that makes a difference. It's his power and influence in our family that makes a difference. It's his power and influence in the church that makes a difference. If we were to go down through here tonight and ask every person in every family, every mom and dad, of how things are going in your life and in your family and your home, we would probably not get all good reports. But I promise you this, in most cases, the reason there's problems in the life, there's problems in the home, and there's problems in the church is because we're not yielded, surrendered, and submitted to the Spirit of God. That's it. And wouldn't it be a terrible thing to someday, when it's all said and done, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord Jesus looks at whether it's a husband or a father, a mother, a wife, or a child, and says, do you realize what I had for your life, but you wouldn't submit? Do you realize what I had for your family, but you as an individual would not submit and yield, and as a result, your family was handicapped, your home was handicapped, the church was handicapped. Think about that. And it's all because we will not yield and we will not submit to the Spirit of God. There are two words. That word surrender means this. It means to give up. If somebody robbed a bank, the police took after them, they apprehended them, held their guns on them, said, you either put down your weapons, throw up your hands, or we're going to shoot, and they'd say, I give up. They put their hands in the air. We all tonight need to throw our hands in the air before God and say, I give up. But you know, even when a person gives up that's a criminal, does that mean they're submitted? No, you know, they could take that guy, they could see his hands up in the air and he could say, I give up, I surrender. They could put handcuffs on his hands and shackles on his feet. They could put him inside the squad car and he could kick the windows out. Why? Well, he surrendered. Well, yes, he surrendered, but he never submitted. That word submit means to yield to the authority of one that is over you. And tonight we are not our own. We are bought with a price. We belong to God, and the Holy Spirit is the one that ought to be controlling. He's the one behind the wheel, and we ought to let him take us where he wants us, and we ought to live in a manner that's pleasing to him. I wonder this evening, are you there? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you intoxicated? Are you controlled by the Spirit tonight? If you're not, you can be. If we'll just yield and submit to the Spirit of God that lives inside. Let's bow our heads, please.